species, where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
Against nature, whose agenda? In November-December 1997, Channel 4 broadcast a series of 3-hour-long documentaries called Against Nature. These took a strongly anti-green, anti-environmentalist stance, arguing that the technological society has done nothing but good. The information welcomes the occasional devil's advocate to stir things up, sometimes a good way to focus arguments. In this case, however, the agenda seems, or rather seemed, rather sinister. Let's take the series as a whole. Sympathy was aroused in the viewer by scenes of poverty in India, which could be alleviated by a new hydroelectric dam stopped by the Greens, as if they are some massive organised army. Yet other scenes showed the excesses of city life as wholly desirable. We need less waste in the first world, more resources for the third, but not more waste for everyone. Greens were compared with Hitler's fascists because they were seen as conservative, backward-looking, loving nature, all attributes of the Nazis who instigated mass tree-planting programs and celebrated the Wagnerian myths of their fatherland. Yet Hitler also pioneered rocketry, V-weapons, leading to the US space program, also the first motorways, with the assistance of Henry Ford. It's easy to take little bits of evidence and make them fit a theory. An African with a broken leg complained about the elephant that attacked him, saying they should all be behind bars. It is true we shouldn't idealise animals, yet if Africa was full of cars and lorries, wouldn't these cause even more accidents? The elephant can't be blamed for showing its true nature, but humans are sentient beings who choose to convert their bodies into lethal chunks of metal by driving. Yet no balance was provided by interviewing the victims of road accidents, who number many more thousand per year in this country alone. It was also said more trees are planted in today's congested cities than cut down, in defence of modern urban planning. Yet this surely contradicted the fascist tree theory, which applies to gardens, pot plants, even paintings of natural subjects. Greens are not against cities. Mass sprawling populations in the countryside will be an ecological disaster, but that doesn't mean we must have choking car-filled cities. The city can be a far greener, more pleasant place given the right policies on land use, architecture and transport. But in willfully neglecting such details, Against Nature was against sanity. The third programme was a little better, defending what it termed Frankenstein science, arguing how scientists should not be accountable to the potential hazards of their work, as this stifles invention. While all science may have risks, I'm sure you could fall off a roof installing a solar panel, there are surely no such rights without responsibilities. Science can't just make a careless mess for other science to clear up. Two wrongs don't make a right. The new genetic foods will alter species forever, yet the process is treated as mere consumer choice. The crisis over BSE, CJD and British beef shows where such lax philosophies lead. Perhaps the old song, I say tomato, you say tomato, should go, I say tomato, you say genetically modified organic consumer edible. Let's call the whole thing off. We did have sympathy with the surgeon who wanted to attempt the first full body transplant, i.e. transplanting a paraplegic's head onto a donor body. There is clearly a gain in such an operation, which only seemed ghoulish because Against Nature's makers kept telling us we already thought so. They should have respected the intelligence of their audience and explained the procedures in an enlightening way. There was a comeback discussion show late one Tuesday which we didn't see, but it seems dubious to place it in such a graveyard slot. The information lodged objections with the Broadcasting Standards and Independent Television Commission, who agree interviewees were unfairly treated, though are unable to criticise an editorial line, however dubious. Loving More. A much better offering from Channel 4, the late-night chat show For the Love Of, comes and goes, postponed by such trifling events as Scottish and Welsh referendums. We particularly enjoyed the episode on tree lovers, fascists, with the myths and magic involved. Underground structures prove spooky, while the new series, Spring 1998, has been even better. Diana conspiracies looked at the possible assassination of the late princess and made chilling late-night viewing, while alien abductions brought a welcome human angle to this often ridiculed topic. Most entertaining was time travel, including some very argumentative guests. Presenter John Ronson stayed cool. Well, I'm sure Against Nature, the programme, is pretty much forgotten. I don't know if it's available on YouTube anywhere. Probably not. It's one of those things that gets shown once and you never see again. I did refer to Greens in that article. I wasn't talking about the Green Party. I was talking about the environmental movement in general. I'm more sceptical about that movement now than I was when I wrote this. But this article was very much putting the counter-arguments to something which was already very slanted unfairly towards the environmental movement, to be fair. It was a programme that manipulated the viewers, yet probably had something worth hearing within the manipulation, if you could get around that. It brought out a lot of complaints from the Green movement, who themselves probably wouldn't ever be very self-critical anyway. This was before the kind of climate change business took off and ruined the Green movement, in my view. Even if it was all caused by man, which I think we can agree on here that it isn't, you wouldn't only want to campaign against one thing. And if it turns out to be a fraudulent invention of a new world order, then it's going to be a bit stupid, or even more stupid, spending all your time campaigning against it. Of course, we need to protect against environmental damage and the effects of climate change, but no good blaming the wrong thing. But certainly some of the individual issues mentioned there were well worth noting. John Ronson's programme For the Love Of was his initial programme he did about conspiracies. He's done others subsequently, and he wrote a book called The Men Who Stare at Goats that was well, it gets a mixed reception. I haven't read it actually, but I think he does tend to take the mickey out of subjects a bit. For the Love Of was good because everyone used to just sit around talking in sofas, and it was very laid back, late night programme. It was like it was live, but I think it was recorded in the day. And I've subsequently met some of the guests from the Lunar Conspiracy episode, and I still know one of them quite well. And that was one of the best episodes. That was in the first series, I think, the first series I saw anyway, and the ones I mentioned there were ones that followed on from it. But John Ronson, yeah, we've met him in a talk in Brighton, and again, very entertaining man, but you do feel he's often a bit like David Aronovich, making a very sort of entertaining programme, and he's got a very good way of coming over. You like listening to him, but he's kind of debunking it at the same time. I think David Aronovich is much more against the conspiratorial view than John Ronson, to be fair. I think John Ronson's kind of semi-sympathetic, but in a kind of liberal way that, again, like I've sometimes thought with things like the 14 Times, they'll give you a kind of time of day for being a bit of an oddball, but will they ever believe what you say? And that's the trouble with those sort of things. For the Love Of, I should think there's still bits of it on YouTube. I haven't looked for it on there for a while. I've got a lot of audio recordings of the show. I used to plug a cassette recorder into the TV and record the episodes. So I've still got all those audio recordings, which are excellent, because most of it's just talking. Maybe we could put it out. Well, we can't put it out as a podcast, but it may as well be, because otherwise you're just looking at people sitting in sofas talking. But I think there are some bits of it on YouTube. But yeah, the audio recordings are certainly a good record of the type of campaigning that was done in the late 90s, pre-9/11, but at the same time, the Diana thing happened around that time, and they were just getting into the early days of unravelling that with some very good guests, a guy from Executive Intelligence Review, and John King, who's written an excellent book about Diana, and some other guests. Some of them had rather strange ideas. One said that she wasn't even dead and she was living in America, but I think we can dismiss that. We haven't seen her anyway. But then maybe Elvis is still alive, who knows? Okay, signing off.
The information where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.